Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 weeks to Fitness, episode number 49. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, before we begin with today's guest, I want to let you know how you can help Body Sculpt of New York save a child's life. In preparation for our 12th annual Children's Sports and Fitness Expo, Body Sculpt of New York is launching its first fundraising campaign of the year on the crowdfunding platform Indiegogo.com. The fundraising campaign will begin or has begun on Tuesday, February 24th, and will end on Tuesday, April 24th. Will you join us in our movement to help children and their families to improve their health by making a financial donation towards our campaign? No amount is too small. All donations are tax deductible and will go towards our Children's Sports and Fitness Expo, which will take place on Saturday, June 27th. To show our gratitude for your donation, I have listed a number of perks on the Indiegogo website in exchange for your support. Our fundraising goal is $15,000. Which will go towards covering the cost for instructors, equipment, t-shirts, breakfast and lunch for our volunteers, and more. Over 3,000 families are expected to attend. Will you help us reach this goal? Please go to Indiegogo, which is spelled I-N-D-I-E-G-O-G-O, Indiegogo.com, and type in Children's Sports and Fitness Expo. We are counting on your support. Now, in this episode, I will be joined by Chef Sia Pickett, owner of Mulatta Cuisine, a personal natural foods chef service located in Brooklyn, New York. Chef Sia was born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and credits her grandparents for teaching her how to cook. Chef Sia moved to New York about 14 years ago, and while in New York, she attended the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. During the interview, Chef Sia will discuss her personal philosophy on nutrition and how what works for one person will not necessarily work for others. Sia believes that although vegetarianism is a healthy way to live, not all vegetarians are healthy. Chef Sia is a personal chef specializing in nutritionally healthy, natural, clean foods with a vegetarian, vegan, and raw focus. Chef Sia offers personal chef services, nutritional counseling, cooking demos, lessons, and small group catering events. Now remember the words of Tony Robbins, who said, "Success comes from taking the initiative and following up, persisting, eloquently expressing the depth of your love. What simple action can you take today to produce a new momentum towards success in your life?" And now that's worth thinking about. Welcome back to 6 weeks of Fitness. Sia H. Pickett is the owner of Mulatta Cuisine, a personal natural food chef service in Brooklyn, New York. Sia is a certified community chef and health coach, a graduate of the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and a student of Escoffier Culinary School. She has over 20 years of holistic cooking and trainer experience. Ms. Pickett is passionate when it comes to educating the community about lifestyle options as it pertains to cooking healthy food and overall health. I am very pleased to have Chef Sia on our 6 weeks to Fitness program. Chef Sia, how are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm great.
Now, before we talk about Mulatta Cuisine and the work you're doing to promote a healthy lifestyle, let's talk about you, Sia, and your personal journey into health. Are you originally from New York?
No, I'm originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but I've lived on the East Coast for probably the last 20 years, and I've been a New Yorker for probably the last 14 years.
Ah, I see. But tell me what it was like. What was the family life like growing up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin?
Well, basically, I grew up in the Midwest, and it's a blue-collar kind of situation. I was fortunate enough to have a grandmother who was originally from Louisiana, who actually taught me how to cook, and learned a lot of Creole food and things like that. She had a garden and so forth. And I learned to can and cook fresh vegetables and all that kind of stuff. My grandfather, who has been said to be the first African-American meat inspector in the state of Wisconsin,
wow.
Also, I had all kinds of meat in my life, too. And so, again, all of those things were very influenced on how I eat today as I've journeyed through, you know, trying to eat healthy and be healthy.
Okay, so you would say that your role models growing up were your grandparents.
Yeah, they were my biggest influence as far as when it comes around eating and cooking and things like that. We had the whole tradition of Sunday dinner and family dinners around holidays and things like that.
Oh, very, very, very nice. Now, when did you first realize the importance of eating healthy, though?
Probably around in my 20s. I thought that I would be a vegetarian.
Okay.
And so I pursued that for a while because, and I don't know necessarily I did it so much as health. I don't feel like I was as health conscious as I was then, as I am now.
Yeah.
Then, but it was kind of the trendy thing to do. It was the 70s and people were into alternative ways of living. And I had a cousin who was a vegetarian and I spent some time with her and that's all I was able to eat. And I came back home after hanging out with her and decided that I was going to be a vegetarian as well. And so I did that for several years, and then I found that myself back to eating some animal protein, like fish and chicken.
Right.
And then it's kind of gone up and down through that because, you know, my philosophy as it stands now is that vegetarianism is a healthy way, but there are a lot of vegetarians that aren't healthy because they're not eating enough of everything that they need to make their body be in balance. Some people's metabolism can totally embrace vegetarianism, and some people's metabolism does need animal protein based on scientific study.
Okay, so you don't advocate a vegetarian lifestyle for just anyone?
No. I feel like food is very individual and diet just the same as when I do my nutrition workshops. I always use the analogy that an ostrich and an eagle are both birds, but they grow up in different environments. They eat different things based on that. And so the school that I went to, in its name itself, it says integrated. So we study many different types of dietary philosophies. And just in my years of doing this, what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for the next person. It's just the same as like you'll have people who are allergic to peanuts and some people aren't. So I try to individualize it based on a lot of different information as to how their grandmother ate and what did she eat when she was carrying her mother and what did their mother eat when they were carrying them? Because that's the beginning of who you are and those are the foods that nourished you to be the person that you are.
Wow. So you actually dig into the person's, the individual's background when you talk about nutrition to them.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Because now I understand you are a graduate from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I met quite a few nutritionists from there, and they all seem to me to be very, very knowledgeable, very passionate about their craft and what they do. What about yourself? How do you feel about that particular school and that particular school of learning?
I like the school of learning because it's very on point as far as up and coming as far as its philosophy. And it's like I said, we learned a lot of different dietary methodologies, I guess you would say, or ways of eating and about how that affects certain people and how food and health are, you know, one and the same. And fortunately, my personal opinion is that modern day medicine doesn't necessarily embrace that. They have most recently started to embrace it, but they've kind of kept it in two separate arenas. And then sometimes it's just about the basic food groups that, you know, saying this is what you need to be healthy, but it doesn't individualize it. And so it doesn't take into effect other aspects of what is healthy for you as an individual. And so that's why I like the school, because they were far more progressive about really understanding how food and your health of your body kind of get to connect. The other thing that I like about the school is that the other aspect that a lot of people try to make separately is that your emotional and mental health also have to do with the physical health. You can be eating a very healthy diet, but if you're emotionally going through some challenges or mentally going through some challenges, your body produces certain things, you know, chemicals that can affect your health as well. So you can have a really strong heart, no cholesterol, but you can still have high blood pressure because of stress.
Hmm. Wow, very well put. And as you know, today, obesity and chronic illnesses are very, very pervasive throughout the community here in New York and throughout the country. And what do you attribute that to?
I think that it has more to do with the lifestyle that we live now in today's world. And everybody's moving really fast, trying to do things for convenience. I understand that. But the focal point is not necessarily health. And they, again, because of the way people have been educated around food, they don't really equate that the food makes a difference in how they're feeling. And unfortunately, people just don't cook anymore because it's either not convenient or they've never been taught or things like that. Or if they do cook things, they cook them in microwaves or they cook it in really fast methods that are not necessarily the best way to cook the food for the healthiest results. Or they cook it too long and they're cooking all the nutrients out of the food.
Very true. So you mentioned the microwave. Now, is it safe to cook your food or to heat up your food in the microwave?
Well, it's a whole big debate back and forth about it. Personally, I feel that the microwave has its benefits, but I wouldn't use it on any regular basis like anything else.
Right.
Because of the fact that it is putting waves into your food.
Yes.
And so I just feel like anything else, you need to do everything in some kind of balanced moderation.
I understand you're also a student of the Escoffier, I think it's pronounced, culinary school. Is that in Colorado?
Yes.
So what style of cooking did you learn there?
Well, basically it's a traditional school that teaches the, and most culinary schools come from the French culinary perspective.
Okay.
Escoffier, historically, was very instrumental in a lot of the ways that formal kitchens are ran. He based it on a military setup as far as, like, if you work in a professional kitchen and the different stations, he used the same kind of methodology they use in the military as far as setting up, you know, different troops and so forth. He did that same kind of thought process as far as running the kitchen. Also, he was very involved in the modern day canning process of being able to can without people getting sick and getting botulism and so forth. So he's been instrumental in a lot of innovative ways about cooking. They do offer, in addition to the traditional cooking methodologies, they do have a focus on nutrition and healthy eating because, again, that's the kind of the wave of where people are going. Because fortunately or unfortunately, food can be very trendy, just like fashion. So, you know, and you can see that based on restaurants that are here today and gone tomorrow. So now a burger is a big deal, and so you'll see all kinds of burger places popping
right
up.
That's very, very true. Now, let's talk about your business as a personal chef and owner of Malata Cuisine. Was there a reason why you chose the name Malata, and what does that mean?
Well, interesting enough, when I was trying to come up with a name, and I was going back and forth, and I read all kinds of books about naming your business, it was my birthday, and I received Marcus Samuelson, the chef in Harlem. I received his cookbook that he went all around Africa to various places looking at the type of cuisine that they had in the various countries. And he's really, I admire him as a chef. And so I was looking at the book, actually, and fell asleep in the book. When I woke up, it was on a recipe that's made, I believe, in Mozambique called Malata, which is a culmination, it's similar to a gumbo. So it's like got all kinds of seafood and vegetables and things like that. And it just like stuck with me because that's how I cook. I kind of, It's a fusion of various foods. I've had a lot of influences from all over the world. Like I said, my grandmother was from Louisiana, so I have the Creole influence, the Southern influence from my other grandmother, and just I'm a foodie, so I've tasted food from all over the world. I've traveled various countries, so I kind of infuse all of that in my cooking, and that particular dish is an infusion of seafood and vegetables and chicken, and I just figured that would be a good name to reflect how I cook.
Wow. It sounds tasty just hearing you talk about it. Now, your company is located in Brooklyn, New York. Exactly where in Brooklyn?
I work out of my home, and because I'm a personal chef. And so what that means is that I come to your location and cook food, or I'll work in an incubator kitchen to create food. I do cooking demos and throughout the Brooklyn area, sometimes in Manhattan. I contract with an organization called Just Foods, which is a not-for-profit that really works for food justice. And so they're very instrumental in helping various neighborhoods that are called or coined the name food desert to have fresh vegetables. They were very instrumental in helping low-income people use their EBT cards to get fresh vegetables from the farmers market. But what they were finding was that a lot of times they hadn't people who had been in that circumstance and had not necessarily on a regular basis cooked fresh vegetables because they didn't necessarily have access to them. And so it's one thing to give me access to cook an eggplant, to purchase an eggplant, but how do I cook that eggplant? Yeah. And so myself and a team of other community chefs go into farmers markets, into food pantries, into churches, into schools, into WIC centers, and we go and do food demonstrations on how to cook these foods so that they can start, you know, preparing them in their home.
Wow, that sounds really good. So you're a personal chef, as you said, okay, and you travel mm-hmm. to various homes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you very busy as a personal chef at this time?
The winter is usually a little slower for me than in the summer and spring and summer months is probably my high season. But again, this business, I've had it roughly about 4 years. This is my fourth year. And probably last year was probably my most productive year. And I'm really just trying to get my word out there for people because my whole philosophy is that, you know, you can reconstruct the food that you like traditionally and make it and construct it into being something healthy. I try to meet people where they are and try to help them eat healthier. And sometimes that's a whole change in your palate, your lifestyle, and rethinking around food. Because really everything that you eat, even down to the spices that you put into food, can be medicinal for your body and help you feel better.
I agree. Now, I noticed on your website you had you had the phrase, I think it was from Hippocrates, that said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food, correct?
Correct.
Now, how important is that?
It's extremely important to me. And I know that even for me, that for my own challenges with health and trying to be a healthy person, that is how, and I would say 90% of the time, how I have made myself become, heal myself to be healthier. So, for example, I was having some challenges where I was having joint inflammation. Well, I found out that I was eating foods that were contributing to that inflammation. And so I changed my diet and then incorporated some other foods to offset it. And now they don't bother me anymore. And that's without any medication.
Very, very interesting. Now, you're saying that just by changing the way you eat, you were able to do away with joint inflammation.
Yes.
That's amazing. And I've heard that, and I believe in that. We talk about that when we do our six-week fitness programs because people don't realize what you eat affects your joints.
Yes. So, like, for example, if I have a client, how it would look, is that, let's say they just want to eat healthier. They're having some minor health issues. Let's say they're pre-diabetic or pre-hypertension or they're having joint pain. I usually do an assessment that asks about family history, so on and so forth. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about the school that I went to, because they gave us all those tools to work with a client individually. And so once I get that assessment, then I have them do a food diary or journal over a 30-day period, just what they eat every day and how they eat. So then I see, then I ask them what their likes and dislikes are. And so for those three pieces, I can put together a menu that can kind of assist them in improving their health. And again, I'm not a doctor, so I do have them, you know, consult their doctor, things like that, because I don't want them to do anything that would be too adverse to their health, depending on where they are, as far as what type of health challenges they're dealing with, but definitely want to support them around whatever they're already doing medically to feel better.
That's great. So if I have a client, or if I have someone as a trainer, and I said, well, this client has obesity issues, and they need to learn how to eat better, or the client has asthma or heart disease, can you then get an assessment from the client of what they eat and make recommendations to deal with those issues?
Yes.
Because I say that because obesity, as you know, is a major issue today. Okay.
Yes.
And as well as heart disease and diabetes. And I'm a strong believer that it's because of what we're eating and how we eat.
You're right. And one of the biggest culprits is sugar and sodium. That, because sugar and sodium are incorporated in so many foods, especially processed foods, and people aren't even aware of it, that it's in the food at the level it is, because a lot of times the scientific names that are on the labels, people don't know what that is. They don't understand that. And so one of the things I do in my nutrition workshop is we do a whole thing about reading the labels. And my philosophy, personal philosophy, is if you can't pronounce it, maybe you shouldn't be eating it. And so I really stress on people getting back to eating whole foods. So the biggest pushback you'll get is, well, I don't have time. I'm a single parent. I got three kids. I'm doing this, that, and the third. But again, I show them how to make some of the foods that they're most eating. So for example, if you have a mother who has small children, it's easy to go and get a frozen bag of chicken nuggets, let's say. And so, but when you read the packaging of the chicken nuggets, there's all kinds of other stuff in there, and we hope that there's some real chicken in there. So at the end of the day, I tell them, buy chicken breasts, cut it in whatever shapes that are cute for you, and I show them how to coat it and bread it and put it on a cookie sheet, freeze them, put them in a Ziploc bag or one of those sealer bags, and boom, you have your chicken nuggets. Now when you come home from work, you can take them same chicken nuggets, only the ones you made, and put them on a tray and stick them in the oven, and you have your dinner just as fast. And you actually know what you're eating, and you save some money because you've done it yourself. Yeah,
so true. So many people will tell you, though, that they live a very busy lifestyle. Like you said, they have children, or they work around the clock, and they just don't have time, so they say, to eat healthy. What do you tell them?
I tell them that you can make the time, because it's like that you can put the quarter in the meter or you can get your car towed. You can take care of your health now, or you can and spend the time and money to make it happen, or as you get older, spend all the money on the medical bills and medication. Because a lot of times, especially younger people, feel like they're vibrant, they're moving around, they don't have any aches and pains, and they're great. But they don't understand that they're building the foundation to the future of the quality of their older age. And I know from people that I have that work in the nursing home profession and the rehabilitation professions that there are younger and younger people are coming with heart attacks and all kinds of health disease at 39, 40 years old. And that's not the case. And I mean, I'm almost 60 years old, and I know from how viable I am that I know there are younger people that have far more issues and challenges than I do at my age. Mm. Because of the way that they eat and take care of themselves.
Most definitely. And as a trainer, personally, I know so many people who think that if I just exercise 5, 6, 7 days a week and not worry about eating healthy, I'll be healthy. I wouldn't have to worry about that. But I say that's not true. You know, you've got to eat healthy in order to be healthy.
Exactly. For example, I just recently did a workshop with another organization I work with called Fit for Life that works with children. And they work with them around, you know, exercise and activities and things like that. And so it was a train the trainer workshop that we did with Big Brothers and Big Sister. And one of the things I came in and showed them how to make a healthy recovery drink. Because, again, we've been kind of, you know, pushed into drinking all of the Gatorades,
yes,
and sports drinks and so forth. And I get that they come with certain things to replenish all the electrolytes and things like that in your body. But then in addition to that, you have, you know, fake coloring, you have a lot of sodium, you have high fructose corn syrup in those drinks as well. So I show them how to make a drink with coconut water, bananas, and spinach and apples that have all the properties of what you need to recover your body after working out, or even you could drink it before. And it's healthier, and you know what you're getting, and it's not putting all those chemicals in your body. Because like you said, a lot of people think, oh, you work out, and I'm good, I'm going to burn the calories. But a lot of times we're eating empty calories. There was a study that showed that recently there was a new rise in rickets, which a lot of people don't even know what that is, because it was from back during the Depression time, where people weren't getting enough fruits and vegetables, and so their body was not getting proper nourishment. And you would think in today, especially in America, that there wouldn't be kids that are malnourished, but they are. They're eating, but they're eating things that have no nutritional value.
Wow, that's so true. And as you know, my organization, we do the Children's Sports and Fitness Expo, and we try to engage children in all types of fitness activities, but we also make sure there's a nutrition component, mm-hmm, to it. And the health screening.
And that's very important. That's very important, because a lot of people, again, we've been raised to think that food and your physical body are like separate things, and your spirit and your mental, like all of those things are separate, but it's all in one, and that you have to keep all of those things in balance to be totally in health.
As a personal chef, would you say that your services are expensive for the average person?
I work with the individual based on their budget. So sometimes it's a situation where the person just wants to get started in trying to eat healthy. So maybe I will work a program with them where I cook a few meals for them, or we do cooking lessons, things like that. The other thing is that, because it depends on, for example, it's easier for me to cook for a family than it is for one person. So let's say it's one person who really would like to eat healthier but doesn't cook, whatever. If they partner with another person, then they can split the cost. So I look for ways to make it affordable for people, because making the money is not my focus. It's about, I really am truly concerned about my community and how they're eating. And we don't have a history of eating the way that we do now, historically. And I would like to see how we eat improve, because it's really, it's killing us.
Oh, most definitely. So I know that in addition to being a personal chef, you do the nutritional counseling as well,
mm-hmm,
right, for individuals and for groups.
Yes, and for groups. I do it for churches. I do it for schools. I do it for, you know, Girl Scouts, you know, Boy Scouts, any of those, any kind of community group that you have. I can come in and do either a nutrition workshop. We can do cooking classes. We can do, I can do cooking demos, different, all those different types of things.
Okay, excellent. And now, is this like on an hourly basis?
I have packages.
Yes.
That we can, you know, that I can put together for people. And some work that I do is hourly.
Oh, okay, great. Now, I also noticed that you do small group catering events. Explain that.
Well, basically, I have found that, and not so much here, because the eating trends in New York are just now getting to a point where it's more about vegetarian and raw and things like that, whereas out west, it's always been prevalent. So I do catering for small groups of, you know, like dinner parties, for people. And it's based on using organic and healthy food. And so, cause a lot of times you don't necessarily have that in the marketplace, or the thought process that a lot of people have is that vegetarianism is, you know, substituting the meat for some cheese, or, you know,
yes,
and it's the repertoire of food is very limited. whereas I have a wide variety of things, and a lot of things that I have traditionally may have had animal protein in it, and I have reconstructed it to be a dish that a vegetarian can appreciate and be healthy.
Very good. Now, I know there's vegetarianism, and I know there's veganism, okay?
Right.
So explain the difference for my audience.
Basically, the difference is simple. The vegans eat no animal product whatsoever. So whereas vegetarianism falls into a couple of different categories, you have some vegetarians that still eat fish. You have some vegetarians that still do dairy. You have some vegetarians that include eggs in there. Whereas the vegan eats nothing of any type of animal product whatsoever.
Hmm.
It's all vegetables.
Which lifestyle would you say is the most effective, the most nutritious, the most beneficial?
Personally, I feel of all the diets that are out there, that the Mediterranean diet, which is primarily vegetables with some animal protein, I feel is probably the healthiest for most people. Again, like I said, it's individual because some people's metabolism and blood type will allow them to be solely a vegetarian and the meat doesn't work well with their metabolism. Whereas on the other hand, there are people who have strived to be vegetarians and they start to have challenges because they need the animal protein. Now, there's some people who have chosen these different diets because of their personal politics about life.
Yeah.
And so they don't want to, they don't want to eat animals because they don't want to destroy animals, for them to die, et cetera. And so there are different herbs and things like that that I've learned about for that particular person. Let's say their body metabolism and their blood type says they really need some animal protein, but there are different herbs and things they can eat or incorporate into their diet or their foods will kind of help their body move through that process without feeling too depleted from that.
Oh, okay. That's very, very good information. I thank you for that. Now, do you offer online consultations as well with your business?
I haven't set that up at this particular point. I've been asked a couple of times to do that, and so that's something I'm considering. But I do, we can do Google Hangout. We can do Skype. I can do phone if they're not in the area or their lifestyle is such that they can't meet me one-on-one. So definitely I have the options to do that as well.
Okay, great. Now, how do you promote your business, Sia?
Basically, at this particular point, I've been doing social media. I've been doing word of mouth, and I'm in the process of putting together a healthy food cookbook. And so I hope to promote that to get the word out about my philosophy around food and health.
Yes, because I love your philosophy about food and health. Just listening to you is really inspiring. It really is,
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, what is your website address?
My website address is you can go to one or two because they're all interconnected. But the main one is Malata, which is spelled M-A-L-A-T-A. And the word cuisine, cuisine. And that is the main one. Or you can just go Chef Sia, which Sia is S is in Sam, I-A. And either one of them will connect you to both sites, to my social media. I have Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, to any of those.
Okay, great. Now, you mentioned social media, so you're on... All right, when it comes to following you on Twitter, your Twitter handle would be Chef Sia?
Yes, it's Chef Sia hyphen, it's Chef hyphen Sia.
Okay, I'm just writing that down. Okay, great. What are your future goals, Chef Sia?
My future goals is to really set up a actual physical location for people to come in. One of my biggest mentors is Dr. Fulton, who was one of the first naturopath health food stores of African-American descent in the Chicago area. I met her when I was very young. She was very good friends with my aunt. And she had a place where people could come and get different things that they need to be healthy. She gave them consultation. She actually had a little cafe. So that's something that I'm really interested in doing to some extent. Basically being able to, for the fact that just like you can go to a fast food restaurant and get food, to be able to come and say, hey, I need a quinoa and a black bean burger. Here you go. Huh. So that really to be able to take that on another level to help people with their busy schedules and still be able to have something affordable and healthy that they can eat.
Hmm. And you would set that up here in New York?
That's what I hope to do.
Okay. That sounds really good. Now, is there anything else that you would like to share with my listeners?
Basically, I just want to say is really take the time and understand what you're eating and why you're eating it and where your food comes from. So that means reading the labels, seeing where what farm did it come from. Is it a GMO? Is it organic, natural? All of those things, understanding what those terminologies is. Just basically educate yourself around what you're ingesting, what you're putting into your body. That, if you start there, that will be an eye opener for you, and it'll make you seem, you know, you'll be on the road to becoming healthier.
Hmm. Good advice. That's great, Chef. Now, on behalf of Bodyscope of New York and 6 Weeks of Fitness, I want to thank you so much for coming on our show.
Well, I thank you for having me on your show. I really do appreciate it.
And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog. Take care and bye-bye.